Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus program. I've got in my hand a couple articles that deal with Benghazi. I haven't seen anything in the News and Focus section on Benghazi, so I thought I would turn on the mic and talk about it. The issue in Benghazi is back in the news again because of the hearings that are being conducted by Congressman Issa in the House of Representatives. You will recall, I hope, on September 11, 2012, that the U.S. Embassy at Benghazi, or perhaps not the embassy, but one of the outposts in Benghazi in Libya in North Africa, was attacked. You may also recall that we were told that the reason the embassy or the outpost was in fact attacked was because of a video that had been produced, an anti-Islamic video. As it turns out, that appears to be an utter lie. But then again, you out there in the listening audience may disagree with me, and that's perfectly fine. You have the right to do that. But based on everything that I've read and seen in the news, it looks as though the video was not the impetus behind the spark that caused this attack in which four U.S. citizens lost their lives. So I'm looking at an article, May 8, 2013, New York Times. Diplomat says questions over Benghazi led to demotion. Washington, New York Times. A veteran diplomat gave a riveting minute-by-minute account on Wednesday of the lethal terrorist attack in Benghazi, Libya, last September 11th, and described its contentious aftermath at a charged congressional hearing that reflected the weighty political stakes perceived by both parties. Now, we don't care about the political parties at this time. We don't care about the Republicans. We don't care about the Democrats, as Trevor Hammock often reminds us in the News and Focus section. We want the truth. That's what we want. During a chaotic night at the American Embassy in Tripoli, hundreds of miles away, the diplomat Gregory Hicks got what he called the saddest phone call I've ever had in my life, informing him that Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens was dead and that he was now the highest ranking American in Libya. For his leadership that night when four Americans were killed, Mr. Hicks said in nearly 6 hours of testimony that he subsequently received calls from both Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton and President Obama. But within days, Mr. Hicks said, after raising questions about the account of what happened in Benghazi offered in television interviews by Susan E. Rice, the United Nations ambassador, he felt a distinct chill from the State Department superiors. The sense I got was that I needed to stop the line of questioning, said Mr. Hicks, who had been a foreign service officer for 22 years. He was soon given a scathing review of his management style, he said, and was later effectively demoted to desk officer at headquarters in what he believes was retaliation for speaking up. Now, of course, that cannot be proved, and anytime these types of reassignments occur, people can perceive them one way or the other, and we won't know that. House Republican leaders made the hearing the day's top priority, postponing floor votes so that Committee on Oversight and Government Reform could continue without interruption. The Obama administration appeared focused on the testimony, with senior officers, officials at the White House, the State Department, and the Pentagon responding through the day to Republican accusations of incompetence and cover-up in campaign war room style. In the balance, in the view of both Democrats and Republicans, it's not just the reputation of Mr. Obama, but also potentially the prospects for the 2016 presidential election, as Clinton, who stepped down in February, is the Democrat Party's leading did not fundamentally challenge the facts and timeline of the Benghazi administration's response to it. So what's going on here? Who's telling the truth? That's what we're trying to get to the bottom of, and it doesn't look as though we're going to be able to. I mean, that's just the reality. Mr. Hicks offered an unbecoming view of the political supervision and intimidation inside the Obama administration when Republican Jason Chaffetz, Republican of Utah, visited Libya after the attack. Mr. Hicks said his bosses told him not to talk to the congressman. When he did anyway, and a State Department lawyer was excluded from one meeting because he lacked the necessary security clearance, Mr. Hicks said he received an angry phone call from Mrs. Clinton's chief of staff, Cheryl Mills. So this goes right to the person next to the Secretary of State Clinton. Is that accurate? Asked Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. Mr. Hicks responded, yes. A State Department official said Mr. Hicks had been free to talk to Mr. Chavez, but that department policy required a department lawyer to be present during interviews for any congressional investigation. Of course, Mr. Hicks responds with that he never had that in the 22 years he'd been with the department. So what's going on here? Once again, who's telling the truth? The accounts from Mr. Hicks and two other officials, Mark I. Thompson, the former deputy coordinator for operations in the State Department's Counterterrorism Bureau, and Eric Nordstrom, an official in the State Department's Bureau of Diplomatic Security, who had testified previously, added some details to the accounts of the night of September 11th in Benghazi. Armed Islamic militants penetrated the diplomatic compound, starting the fire that killed Mr. Stevens and an aide, and later killed two security officers in a mortar attack. In Tripoli, where frantic diplomats, fearing a similar invasion, used an axe to destroy classified hard drives, and in Washington, where officials struggled to keep up with events. So what we want to know as American citizens, without regard to political party association, is why wasn't U.S. Department of Defense assets launched in an effort to provide security to the U.S. facilities there? That's what we want to know. And the reason we want to know that is not because we are Republicans or because we are Democrats. The reason we want to know that is because of the God-ordained authority and responsibility that the Bible gives to governing authorities. That's why we, as Bible-believing Christians, recognize that the governing authority has two primary responsibilities, just two, and they have nothing to do with welfare or providing unemployment benefits. They are to bear the sword, to bear the sword. And in bearing the sword, the U.S. government or any other government has the responsibility of protecting the its citizens from those who seek to do it them harm, and number two, to bring to justice those who do wrong. Now, those are the two God-ordained responsibilities that any government has. And when we see our government, and when we see our government ignoring its God-ordained responsibilities, it should concern us. It should concern us to the point that we speak up. And that's why I turned on the mic. Because at this point, there are two things that should concern you as it concerns me. Number one, we have no idea who did this. Four U.S. citizens are dead, and it doesn't look as though any justice is going to be served. None. Not at all. Not any. It doesn't look as though we're any closer. In fact, it appears that a failure to act appropriately in the early stages of this event by launching a military response that would provide security to the facilities such that the conditions would be set for the FBI or other investigating agencies to get in there early as possible to collect as much data as needed to begin the investigation, that because of the failure to react by somebody in the administration, the conditions were not set to then pursue justice. That's number one. And number two, why you should care about this, and I know you probably don't, but the reason you should care about this as a U.S. citizen is because from all that we can see, nothing has been done to increase the security posture of U.S. facilities outside of the United States anywhere. And that's why this should be of concern for you. Romans 13:4 says, "For he is the minister or servant of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. So that's what we're dealing with right now, is the failure to do what the government is supposed to do. And because of the partisanship that is ever present in Washington, it appears that we're not going to get to the root of these issues, and everyone is attempting to use this for their own political gain, and that is quite unfortunate. I hope that you haven't forgotten about the fact that four U.S. citizens were brutally murdered in September 11, 2012, and at this point, there is no indication that we're any closer to finding who killed them and to bring them to justice than we were the very next day, September 12th, 2012. Thanks for listening. Send me your comments, P-A-S-T-O-R at BBC@gmail.com. First at is A-T. The second at is the symbol. Pastor at BBC@gmail.com. Have a great day.